Drive to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Danger Zone, everybody. 5-9-10-KFS5-9-10.com. This is actually the Hardline on a Thursday, 2:35 p.m. here. Thank you all for hanging out with us. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Mo, along with the voice of yours, Lou Bilkins, Bob Ramsey.
You know, it's funny, during the break, it happens not infrequently, it happens occasionally. So we got a young guy who is a high-performance athlete, and you got an old guy who just liked to play and was not a good athlete, and we're both so broken down. That all we talk about is the therapies we go to and the workouts we have to do.
Who fixed you and how?
Yeah. How'd you fix that injury? I don't know, but this injury, and anyway, it goes on and on. I want to tell you about a guy that'll help you get in shape and fit, and being fit is what it's all about. Leo Deering over at St. Louis Athletic Development, and he works with a lot of young people, My eighth grader's going to him. And he's been going there just a couple of months, and I'm already seeing a difference.
All right.
It's really amazing. Leo is terrific. Leo's part of the new group over there at Champions Village in Fenton. And you gotta, if you got a kid that wants to be an athlete, a kid that's an athlete that wants to go to the next level, go see Leo. Tell him we sent you. St. Louis Athletic Development. Get him online, stlouisathleticdevelopment.com. It's at Champions Village in Fenton. And your kid will love it. I just wanted to mention that. Been yelling at my kids, hey, get in shape. Come on, let's work out. Dad, go away.
Yeah.
Leave us alone. And my eighth grader, Brendan, loves going there and working out. Loves it.
All right.
He gets on the rowing machine, and he goes, I just imagine how awful that would make me feel being on a rowing machine. He goes, and he's doing it and cranking. Hey, Dad, this is fun. It's just unbelievable. So when you've got somebody like Leo who knows how to communicate and turn on that interest, turn on that light, it's pretty cool.
I like that. Good stuff.
When did you start? You played, obviously, ever since you were a little kid, all different sports. When did you start specifically working out to achieve?
Fifth grade. Yep. Fifth grade. I think maybe the end of fourth grade. There was a place, I don't think it's there anymore. They are now only physical therapy, but they used to be sports performance. XL Sports was a place that I went to, and they had, we didn't do weights really. It was all explosive stuff, box jumps, you know, crazy different tests and all those things. And, there was substantial improvement at a young age. And what it did was it gave me a base to build on. And
then when your growth spurts come, you've got it.
Yeah. It gave me a base of quickness. And I started working out in the seventh grade with weights, which is, you can make an argument that's too early. For me, I was never going to be a big boy anyway, so if I lost an inch, I don't care. The only way I was going to make it was being exceptionally strong for my size and all that. So anyway, my dad did a really good job of giving me enough of a push without feeling forced. He wasn't a Todd Marinovich dad, you know, until I took it myself, and that was about the ninth grade. You know, for a long time, Dad would drag me out of bed, and about the ninth grade, I was waiting by the door. So you get there.
We're getting close to that moment.
Yeah. When your kid's waiting by the door because he can't wait to, you know, first of all, he limps in the door because his legs are so sore from squats that day, but he still can't wait to get there and work out his chest the next day.
Yeah.
You're in pretty good shape.
Right. We're closer.
All right. That's a good thing. Let's talk a little baseball. We only got, Chris Kerber was
what
on
got
with
10 minutes?
Frank Cusmano, the Hogsino press box earlier today. We got about 10 minutes left. Kerbs will be on previewing tonight's game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, two things. You pick, because you're doing a baseball show tomorrow. We can either go over Pecota, which I know you don't follow closely because they don't really matter, but Pecota does projections for all of Major League Baseball, and it's very in-depth. It actually goes into projections for each individual player. Or we can go over what we didn't hit yesterday, and that was the proposed rule changes. You pick.
Man, what is TJ most in? I think you'll like the projections more.
All right, let's
do that.
Pecota, if you guys have been paying any attention at all, has actually been somewhat closer to what's been reality for the Cardinals in recent years than what we expect.
I think I've been closer. But anyway, that's another topic.
You probably have been closer. And the issue is Cardinals.
Was that too cocky? was that a little over the top? Sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
So, a couple interesting things. They have the Yankees edging out the Red Sox in the AL East by 6 games. Quite a bit. 96. They got the Red Sox dropping down to 90 wins this year. They have the Indians winning the AL Central by 15 games. In fact, they are the only team in that division above 500.
Yeah.
And the Astros are winning by a solid 18 games, because that's just a crap division anyway. The Astros would be winning 99. They're the only ones above 500 in their division. And then that brings us to the NL, but realize what I just said there. You have two divisions where you only have one team in each division over 500. That means that the AL has a lot of tankers, which would be a large point of discussion coming into this whole season. The NL doesn't have any teams like that. They have one team that doesn't have at least 71 wins in the entire National League, according to these projections. They have the Mets and the Nationals tying for the NL East. They have the Brewers winning the NL Central by 3 games, and they don't get to 90 wins. They think the NL Central is not going to have a single losing team.
I don't think that'll happen, but I think that our division can cannibalize itself because you can be playing great and lose 2 out of 3.
That's right.
Play great ball and lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs or the Brewers or the Reds or whoever, Pirates.
Right.
And I think that can happen. And so I like to poke fun at those projections because they don't even know what the lineup's going to be like. but I think that's good insight, divisionally.
Yes. And then you have the Dodgers edging out the Rockies. The wild card teams here would be the Nationals with 89 wins and the Cardinals. They have the Cardinals edging out the Rockies by 1 game, which is not bad. The Cardinals would take that. What's interesting is when you just look at it on the surface, not taking into account how good they think the Reds and the Pirates are going to be compared to last year.
Right.
Remember, the Reds turned the corner about halfway through last year. The beginning of last year.
And they've
year,
added to their club.
That's
also,
right.
This is, I think we can safely say this is the first year of the Pecota ratings where two potentially MVP caliber players aren't on rosters and being evaluated into this entire projection. I mean, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper just aren't on a roster.
Well,
what happens to the win totals of the Chicago Cubs, 82 and 80? Where does that go if they sign either of those guys?
That's a good point.
Well,
Ross.
And here's the other thing. I think theoretically, the theory of how they're doing it makes sense, but you got two major impact players, and then just look at the Cardinals.
And
who's the closer? Who's the right fielder? Where are they going to bat?
Also,
so those
they,
things
by
are,
the way, they just as a off that you're saying here, they think that Jose Martinez gets the most playing time in right field this season.
Also, two major players and what, 70 some odd players who were starters
as of
across
Monday,
last
there
year's
were
MLB
100.
Season. Yeah, and so I mean, this is got to be.
You could put a competitive team together if the guys are out of work.
Exactly, this has got to be one of the maybe amount, worst years to actually evaluate the Pecota ratings because, again, 100 quality players just aren't on rosters right now.
So I discredit them for doing it now.
But this is literally, if they come out every year, it comes out exactly now.
I know.
And previously we've been able to have a good view.
But if they redo it.
That'd be interesting.
Before opening day,
I think they will.
I'd give them more credit.
Yeah, I mean, they update them throughout the year. This is just like the first day where they drop the first ones every year.
Yeah.
And so we'll see when Harper and Machado and God knows how many pitchers start bleeding in once spring training starts. We'll see some updated ones, and that'll become a fun thing to actually look
it
at.
It would help the San Francisco Giants, who is the leader in the clubhouse as far as the report today, at least. He went out and met with the Giants recently, Bryce Harper. They are supposed to finish last in the NL West right now with 71 wins. He's not bumping him up too much from that. And in fact, I wonder if Pecota, because of his shortcomings last year in the field, he was a minus 26 defensive run saved. He had a really, really struggled the first half of the season.
He did. I know he was on my team. Anyway.
I don't know if because Pecota, what we haven't dived into yet here is Pecota doesn't think that Paul Goldschmidt, they think this is it. This is the down year. They actually have him. These would be his batting average, 276, would be a career low. On base percentage, 390 would be near a career low. And his slugging percentage, 475, would be a career low.
I'm not sure what they're basing that on.
Nothing. Here's what it is, and I don't believe in it, but it's the fact that Arizona is a hitter's park. Yeah. But his home away splits are nearly identical.
Right.
His OPS is like 6 points difference. He actually slugs higher on the road than he does at home.
If he were 2 years older, I think that's the kind of season you could start to have age be a factor and drift down to that. Those are still good numbers.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll be much better than that.
Yeah, and they've got virtually everybody having worse years, except for Paul DeJong has a pretty good year. He'd be hitting .248, on base of .310, slugging .440, not too bad, but they have
I think he'll be better than that.
I agree. They have Harrison Bader on the low end of what he showed that he could be, the low end, .232, on base of .293, and slugging .378. I don't see that out of Bader.
He'll lose his job if he does that.
I'm with you.
Maybe not in season or right away, but they've got some players on the that are coming up through the system that are ready to go that are marvelous athletes, and but he won't do that. He works too hard. He won't do that. He'll be better than that.
I totally agree. It is interesting too. So this is where the age thing makes sense and doesn't make sense. The first part of the age thing makes sense for Paul Goldschmidt. They've also got him down though as the team leader in stolen bases, which doesn't play into the age thing, right? He's a great base runner.
If Bader plays every day, he'll lead the team in stolen bases.
They project that. I 100% agree with you. They project Bader at 14 stolen bases, playing 85% of the games. Paul Goldschmidt,
17.
16. Yep, with 90. So, anyway, we got to roll on suppose. But we, anyway, a lot to dive into. I'm sure you guys will break all that down tomorrow. It is interesting. I would take the over on that. I mean, the over-under was 88.5, I think, for the Cardinals. Vegas,
I think
I would take
crack
the over
90.
On that.
I would take over. I think they're going to crack 90.
I just don't think the winner of this division is going to have less than 90. I just don't think there's any way.
I think you're probably right.
All right, we got to roll. Chris Kerber, Hollywood Casino Press Box, earlier today previewing Tampa Bay Lightning. Don't forget, Frank Penny, Large Morning Show in the afternoon coming up next in the Cam Jansen program. Stick around, everybody.
Chris, great to be with you. How are you?
Frank, doing awesome. Good to be with you, too. Just watching all the dads on the bench with their sons as they're about to take a big group photo before the morning skate starts.
Boy, give our listening audience a little insight on these dad trips and just how absolutely cool they are.
You know what? They really are cool. I think this is the fourth one that the Blues have done. Some teams that started them kind of before the Blues did. But as a matter of fact, I'm going to move sections so we're not sitting behind this photo here. If they shoot up into the crowd, so as I walk away there.
It's
one of those, get out of the photo, will you? It's really kind of cool because, Frank, especially you've had kids that are athletes, and to watch a kid play, and for them, it's still a dream for them to watch how their sons are playing. And what's really cool is, like, if you see some of the video, and Tim Papps and Phil Mollica just did a great job of capturing shots during the game in Florida of the dads and how it goes. You know, it was one of those where you see them cheering as if they were watching their kids playing peewee hockey again, you know, and then the dads of the goalies, you know, are pretty much biting their nails throughout the whole thing. And honestly, one of the fun parts is just getting to hear some of the stories. So these dads will just kind of hang out, you know, and they'll hit a bar in town and get to know each other. And over a couple of years, some guys are fun back. They've built some great relationships And it's really special. I'll give you an example real quick. I was talking to Carl Gunnarsson's dad last night, and turns out, and I did not know this, but Carl's dad was a goaltender in the Swedish Elite League in the mid to late 70s, and he was Carl's coach from the time he was 4 until he was about 16, and he's still coaching 9-year-old players over in Sweden, and Carl's younger brother is a forward. Carl's a defenseman, and getting to just kind of some fun stuff like that is what makes it such an enjoyable, fun trip.
And they eat all the pregame meals and other meals with the team, and they go to practice?
Yeah, they go to practice. They'll sit in team meetings. They'll get to really be a part of it. If you talk to any of these guys, you're going to say, oh, my gosh, we've done nothing for 3 days but eat. You know, there's a meal here, a meal's there. There's this, and it's kind of fun. And you get some – Tyler Bozak's dad, and they just did Facebook Live, John Kelly and Joey Vitale on the Blues website, Facebook Live site. Just had Tyler Bozak's dad on. I mean, he's a trip. There's some great characters, and really is enjoyable and fun to get to know them a little bit. And like Robert Thomas brought his, brought his grandpa. And how about this story real quick? Zach Sanford, of course, his dad died suddenly of a heart attack in training camp, if you remember that. And Zach had to leave and take care of that. Well, one of his buddies, Chris Callinan, who played with him in Boston at Boston College, they were hanging out, and Zach said, "Will you come be a part of this?" And Chris took some time off of work. He works in the financial industry. He took some time off of work, knowing how tough that this trip might be for Zach Sanford with all the other dads around, and it still being so close to when his own dad passed, that he joined him here. So some really great human interest stories on this as well. And you can see Thomas Dean, you know, a great NHLer in his own right, one of the greatest Winnipeg Jets of all time, hanging out here with Alex Dean. And right now Colt Parayko's dad has his arm around him taking a picture, which is a thrill for Colton's dad. I mean, just kind of fun stuff like that.
All right, so they're going to be facing a Tampa Bay team who is the best offensive squad in the entire NHL. Who will be between the pipes to defend this offensive juggernaut?
No lineup changes for the Blues tonight. Jordan Binnington is going to be between the pipes. The only adjustment to the lineup, at least to begin it, that we're going to see is a change that the Blues made halfway through that Florida game where they paired up Joel Edmondson with Alex Pietrangelo and Carl Gunnarsson with Vince Dunn. So that's a small little switch, but the same group of guys. And Jordan Binnington has earned this start tonight. The Tampa Bay Lightning lost in a shootout in their last game. The same night the Blues were playing to Florida. They lost in a shootout to Las Vegas. This Lightning team has only lost back-to-back games one time all season, and you've got to go way back to November 10th and 13th when that happened. So this is a heck of a hockey team that the Blues are playing tonight.
Had the Blues definitively come out and said that David Perron may be having concussion issues, or is that even correct?
They have not definitively come out and said that that's what it is, but that's what I believe it to be. And and outside of that, I wish I had a better update for you, Frank, but I really don't. Haven't seen him, and of course we've been on the road so much lately, you know. And then we were on the road going into the bye week, and then coming out of the bye week, so haven't had a chance to really get you much of an update on that front.
Biggest threat to the Blues postseason hopes: Vancouver 1 point in front, Colorado 1 point behind, Arizona by Edmonton and Anaheim all 2 points behind. What do you think here, Chris?
If I had to pick one of those teams, I would, or even two of those teams, I would probably say it could be Edmonton and I don't know the other one. Maybe Edmonton, Colorado. So while the Blues are playing the next five games, Colorado's got a schedule where they're playing pretty much top division teams, you know, for their next seven straight, and they've been struggling on top of it. And maybe I'll really turn this around and put the onus on the team we're watching at the warning ski right now, Frank. The biggest threat to the Blues postseason hopes might be the Blues themselves. They're a good enough team, and they control their own destiny. If they continue what they're doing and playing the style of play they're doing, they should be fine. To me, they're the only ones that can get in the way of themselves right now of making the playoffs.
Tell me something you've observed about Craig Berube that really jumps out at you. What makes him tick, and why is he special?
He has taken a no-nonsense approach to this team and has proven to really come across as a player's coach here. From that, the understanding of how the players go. And I think the biggest thing that he has done is he has created a harder mental approach. He wants guys to be aggressive. He goes, if you make a mistake, at least make it out of playing good aggressive hockey. He's held guys accountable, but in talking to Steve Ott after that Florida game and then even on the travel day yesterday, we were talking about the mental makeup of this hockey team. And he said, look, that first period in Florida was ugly. He goes, but you could see on our bench that there was absolutely no wavering going on. That probably wasn't going to be the case 2 months ago. So I would say that's really the most impressive thing that he's been able to accomplish, is he's gotten this team to believe in themselves and believe in the style of play. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Let's face it, when the coaching change was made, he looked like the most interim of interim coaches in sports. Now he actually has a chance to control his own destiny. Do you believe?
Yeah, he does. It really is an interesting topic. And, you know, there hasn't been much, word breaking or anything like that coming from Doug Armstrong, and nor would you see that. That's not his style. Typically, if you hear a rumor coming, it started someplace else. But to those end, the thing is, he said Craig Berube's going to be our coach the rest of the year. And that flat out is the case. And you've got, you know, another interim coach in two places. You've got one in Los Angeles, and you've got one in Philadelphia, you know. But the reality of it is after I think what happened with Mike Gill and how that broke down in the coaching waiting thing, I don't think Doug Armstrong, one, is going to show his cards until he has to. But number two, I don't think he's going to paint himself into a corner before he has to as well here. So, look, does it help Craig Berube's chances if this team gets into the playoffs? Yes. But at the same time, I mean, Frank, there could be some interesting changes going on around. What if Nashville decided to make a move? What if because they didn't get as far as they want to in the playoffs? What if Tampa did as well? I don't think it would make sense for Doug Armstrong to paint himself into a corner anyway. So I don't call Craig Berube an interim coach. I call him the head coach. He right now is the head coach of this hockey team.
Good stuff. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you so much for your time, Chris.
Okay, Frank, have a great show.
All right, Chris Kerber joining us live from Tampa. He's brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry? Well, go to Petromart, because they really do offer a wide variety of good foods. They have fresh fruit, and they have salad. And they have sandwiches on the go. Very tasty. Very tasty. So if you get a chance, stop by one of those great Petromarts, and they will take great care of you. They've been serving St. Louis for a long time, and we're thrilled they bring us the great Chris Kerber on all Blues games.
That was Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box talking over today's game with the Tampa Bay Lightning with Blues play-by-play man Chris Kerber. That is it for the Hardline. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. Remember, it is a Friday, so a slight change in time, 2 to 4 p.m. here from our studios in Kirkwood. That is it for today. Now we turn it over to Frank Opinion in the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Have a great day, everybody.